Our text today will be Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. What a text. In Ephesians 2, verse 4, we saw in our last study how God intervenes in our lives. He intervenes in our lives to bring us to Christ. God took us out of Adam and he placed us in Christ. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, and we saw that he made us alive. When he made us alive, Colossians 1:13 tells us that he has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Not that he's going to, but he has delivered us from the very power of darkness. Today's message is about your new identity in Christ. In Christ, we are the exact opposite of what we were before. You were dead, he made you alive. You were in the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of sin and hell and damnation. And God Almighty, in his grace, reaches down, takes you out of darkness, and he puts you into the kingdom of his glorious Son. That is your new identity. A new identity. A new shape. A new image. A new character. You are no longer what you used to be. Our identity is now found in Ephesians 2, verses 5 through 7. Notice where that identity is found. In verse 5, it says that your identity is with Christ. With Christ. Verse 6 tells us it's in Christ. And verse 7 tells us that it is through Christ. Everything is because of Christ. That is why Christ should be worshipped. And because we are in Christ, we are identified with Christ. What is true of Christ is true of all of those that are in Christ. In Christ and through Christ. This is your new identity. What is true of Christ is true of you. In God's book, do you realize that in God's book, it says that you are as righteous as Jesus Christ? You talk about a new identity. It says that you were slaves of unrighteousness, and now you have become slaves of righteousness. Look at Ephesians 2, chapter 5, verse 21. This is your new identity. Oh, really? You didn't hear me repeat. New identity, new identity, new identity, over and over. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. The one that was sinless became sin for us. So that, for this purpose, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's your new identity. If you feel that way or not. Your feelings are going to lie to you. Our relationship with God is not based on our feelings, but our relationship with God Almighty is based on what the Scripture says. No matter what you may think or say, if you're a child of God, that Bible says that you have become the righteousness of God. How do you wrap your mind around that? That's your new identity. When God Almighty sees you, He sees righteousness. Righteousness. New identity. While you're in 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Doesn't matter what your feelings tell you. If you are a child of God, you are a new creation. All things have passed away. Satan loves just bringing up your past to you. As a matter of fact, you kind of like going along with him. And you agree with him. But that Bible says that you have become the righteousness of God, that you're a new creature, that all things have passed away. It doesn't matter what you were before. A liar, thief, stealer, whoremonger, drug addict, drunkard, power hungry, whatever it was. You are a new creation. That is your identity. Old things have passed away. Behold! Are you beholding that today? Do you behold that? Do you wrap your mind around that day in and day out? 24/7, you are a new creature. Behold, all things have become new. You talk about a new identity. Slaves of unrighteousness, now slaves of righteousness. Of the damned, now a saint. Unholy, now holy. Ungodly, now godly. Where Christ is, we are. What He is, we are. This passage speaks of at least three different areas in which the redeemed are identified with Christ. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive. Well, some of the older translations quickened. We have been brought out of spiritual death and been united with Christ in the resurrection life of Christ. We've been born again. We've become new creatures. We've been delivered from spiritual death, deception, depravity, and damnation, and been given life abundantly. That's the good news. I mean, if that's not the gospel, I don't know what in the world is the gospel. He has delivered you from darkness. The new creature begins a new walk. Notice Romans 6, verse 4. This, once again, is your identity. We have been made alive. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Notice, whenever you see that word that, circle that word that. That is a purpose word. That is a purpose clause. For this reason, therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead. Notice the word raised. They're not vexed today. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Why in the world are you walking in the old paths, the old ways that you used to walk? You have been raised from the dead with Christ. Notice, it's always with Christ, in Christ, through Christ, because of Christ. That's why we worship Christ. And now you and I should walk in newness of life. Turn back over to Colossians. Colossians 2. Once again, please do not go by your feelings. You have to live your Christian life by what the Bible says. Not what your feelings say, what your emotions say, what reason says. You live your Christian life by what God Almighty has said. Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12. Buried with him in baptism. And notice, in which you also were raised with him. Even as Christ was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, notice, he has made alive together with him, once again with Christ, having forgiven you, how many of your trespasses? All of your trespasses. Why are you wallowing in your sin? Why are you doubting God? Why, you know, I don't think he's forgiven me. I don't think he's forgiven me for that sin. The scripture says he has forgiven you all of your trespasses. So are you going to believe God to be true? Or Satan, or yourself, or your neighbor, or your dog, or your cat. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the scripture by faith, buried with Christ, but raised with Christ? See your new identity in verse 6 of Ephesians 2, and raised us up together. He made you alive, and he raised you up with Christ. That's the whole point when somebody is baptized, when they come up out of the water. They're declaring, I have been raised with Christ. I have risen from the dead with Christ. I once was this way, but now I am a new creature. Behold, all things have come, become new. And the life, what? That I now live. How do you live that life now? Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. That is either true or it's not. You're either going to believe that or you're not. And when you hear somebody say about crucifying yourself, there's no crucifying yourself. You maybe can get one nail in the feet and you can maybe get another nail in the other arm, but you're in trouble getting the last nail in. You have been crucified with Christ. Past tense, have been. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Bill Pars no longer lives. That guy died 30-something years ago. It's no longer I who live, but Christ. Notice, Christ lives in me. You talk about walking in newness of life. Christ lives in you. Question is, how could you behave the way you do? How could you treat your spouse the way you do, your children the way you do, your neighbor the way that you do, your fellow brothers and sisters in church? How? Christ lives in you. That's who's saying to you right now, amen. When you read those verses, something inside of you is saying, amen. If you're a child of God, amen, amen. And then you get in your flesh and you go, well, I don't know. What about this and what about that? The Christ who lives in me, when he reads the scripture, says, amen. He bears witness with your spirit. Amen. This is the truth. You have been raised from the dead, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Moment by moment, by faith, you count to be true what the scripture says about you. If you were a drug addict, moment by moment, you said, I gotta go get some drugs. So you counted that to be true? I am a drug addict. I have to go get drugs. But now, Christ living in you says, listen, you don't have to be that way. You don't have to be unloving, ungodly, unforgiving. You don't have to be a gossip and a hater any longer. The life I now live, I have been raised up with Christ. Our new identity is found in Christ. And our new identity is a resurrection life. And the question is, are you living that resurrection life? Turn with me to John 5. Let's look at some text about the resurrection. John 5, 24. Most assuredly, here's Christ. Most assuredly, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you. John 5, 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. You have it. You're not going to get it. Has it. Has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. What peace that brings to the soul. I will not be brought into judgment. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. To know peace. To know peace when that conscience of yours will be just gnawing away at you. When that conscience of yours gnaws away at you, what do? Do you answer that conscience? Well, the scripture says, the Bible says, that I have been forgiven for that sin from 20 years ago. Has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but notice, has passed from death into life. He's talking to people that are alive. He's not talking about the by and by glory train going to heaven. He's saying now, in this world, you have passed from death onto life, into life. You have passed. That's your new identity. While you're in John, look at John 11. John 11 and verses 25 and 26. New identity, brothers and sisters. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Notice what it says. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe the scriptures that you are hearing today? That you have been raised? But far too often, we're in John 11, look at verses 43 and 44. John 11, 43 and 44. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Far too often believers don't have a problem with, I'm born again. God called me forth. From death unto life. But far too often believers, what they don't understand is Christ says about your grave clothes. Loose them. Let them go. Why you keep walking around with those grave clothes on? Christ has said, loose him and let him or her go. And far too often we look at all of the grave clothes. And Christ says, loose him. Let him go. You talk about good news. You are a slave for one reason and one reason only. You don't believe what God Almighty has said. There's no other reason why you're a slave. And there's no other way you're going to be free until you count to be true what God Almighty has said. And he said, loose him. Let him go. Let it go. That's your new identity. Back to Ephesians 2. Not only are we identified in the resurrection of Christ, but we're also in his ascension. In his ascension, where it says, he raised us up together. He raised us up together with Christ, and notice, and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's like, what do you want to do with that? I know you all are sitting here right now, but it says he has raised us up. He made you alive. He resurrected you. He called you forth. He raised you up. And he made you sit in heavenly places. As far as God is concerned, you're there already. You are there already. It says you are seated in the heavenly places, not you're going to sit in the heavenly places. In some way, some unknown way, it says that that is our present condition. We are seated in heavenly places. And once again, what kind of life would you live if you really believed that? Seated in heavenly places. You have to remember that God stands outside of time. He sees all the time at one time. Turn to Romans 8. And if you haven't turned to any of these verses, please turn to this one. I really want you to get this in your soul. Romans 8, verse 30. It's so important in regards to your new identity. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Notice all those verbs. Predestined, called, justified, glorified. I'm going to give you a little 5-second Greek lesson. Every one of those verbs are in the aorist tense. The aorist tense means this: an action that has been completed in the past, never to be done again. That has taken place already in God's mind. Predestined, called, justified, and notice, glorified. Glorified. And strangely enough, there's a word that's missing in there. Anybody that knows different doctrines. And what doctrine is between justified and glorified? Sanctification. You have justification, you have glorification, and you notice sanctification is not even mentioned. Because in God's eyes, you're glorified already. And once again, with an identity like that, how should you live your life? In God's eyes, you are glorified already. Every one of those verbs in the past tense, in the aorist tense, the action has been completed, never to be repeated again. Predestined, called, justified, glorified, seated in heavenly places, raised up, made alive. Now, I got to tell you, I don't think that really comes across as saying, you know, since that's all true, let me go send up a storm then. Well, when you really believe those things about yourself, you fall in love with Jesus Christ. You fall in love with God. How could you not fall in love? Made you alive, transferred you, took you out of the kingdom of darkness and put you into the kingdom of the Son. Predestined you, called you, justified you, glorified you, raised you up, caused you to sit in the heavenly places along with Jesus Christ. You're raised, ascended, glorified with him, in him, and through him. And notice why. Because he looked down the corridors of time and saw what a fine individual that you were going to be or that you are. No. Turn back to our text in Ephesians 2, verse 5. He has done all these things for one reason. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved. And once again, this is not in the aorist tense, but this is in the present tense, and it speaks of a situation that is always ongoing. Always ongoing. meaning you're saved by grace today, you're saved by grace tomorrow, you are saved by grace a decade from now, a millennial from now, a million years from now, to the 57th power. For by grace you are saved. Forever and ever. There's no, I gotta get saved again, I gotta walk an aisle again, I gotta make more of a commitment, I gotta jump higher, I gotta jump further, I gotta make more vows, more promises that I never keep. We're not promise keepers, brothers and sisters, we're promise breakers. But we're saved by grace. And we will always be saved by grace. The only thing that we have to do is to finish the race. And how do you finish the race? Moment by moment, you believe the scripture to be true, what it says about yourself. That's it. That's all that you have to do. But far too often, that is not what we do. We have to finish the race. And that is why God uses the past tense to describe our position. Predestined, justified, called, glorified. That's why he's using the aorist tense over there, because in his eyes, being outside of time, he knows your final destination. But we get so bogged down with this world, the trials and tribulations of this world, the pain, the heartache, the disaster, the sickness, the death, the horror, the water. And we get our eyes off of Christ. And we get our eyes off our destination. Notice Ephesians 2, verse 7. He's done all these things by grace. He saves you. Once again, I'll put you to the test already. See verse 7? There's the word that. There's that little purpose word. There's that little cross. Raised you up, made you alive, seated you in the heavenly places with Christ, so that, for this purpose, that in the ages to come, the ages, how often are just so wrapped up in this little period of time, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years of life. This is it. But God says, in the ages to come, He's going to reveal to you the extent of His grace. His kindness towards you. The exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ. That's the purpose. Those angels are going to look and scratch their head for all eternity. For all eternity. How could God have been so kind to these wicked human beings? We sinned one time and we got bounced out of glory. With no plan of salvation. I hope you understand that. There's no plan of salvation for angels. There's no plan of salvation for Satan. They got thrown out. They rebelled against God. They got thrown out of heaven. That was it. No plan of salvation. God creates Adam and Eve. First thing they're going, oh, okay, I don't need a tree. Right here, you have a piece too, sweetheart. And we've been sinning for thousands and thousands of years. And how many of us today, even on the way here, sin? You talked about your neighbor, you talked about your spouse, you talked about your kids, you talked about your brother, your sister, you had hatred, the guy ran the light. You burnt my toast, I didn't like the French toast, the sausage. You didn't love God, did you love God with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength of any today? I don't think so. Did you love your neighbor that way? Did you love your enemy that way? And yet God, in order that He would show the exceeding riches of His grace. And Paul, he loves using these adjectives. It's like he just doesn't say grace. It's got to be exceeding, abundantly, over and above, more than that. Because it's so beautiful. And do you really see Christianity that way? Or is Christianity to you, I punched my card, I did my hour, goodbye, see you later, I'm going to live my life. Are you living your life like a new creature? Behold, that all things have become new. I give you a little taste of what glory is going to be. Kind of Revelation 4. Revelation 4, verses 10 and 11. The 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." That's part of your new identity. We're going to be a part of that. Why are you in Revelation? Revelation 5, verses 8 through 10. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Your prayers, brothers and sisters, are not in vain. The prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain," notice, "and have redeemed us to God by your blood." There's no way to heaven except the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here today, you are not a child of God. Your good works will never save you. Your commitments, your vows, your whatever, you fill in the blank. There's only one thing that saves a human being, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is the price of admission. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, be a religious person and I'll save your soul. Well, I'm pretty good. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. Price of admission to glory, you have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation, and have made us a kingdom, a priest to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. That's your new identity. Your new identity is not your job, your house, your boat, your car, your tennis, your golf, your clothes, whatever, fill in the blank. Your new identity is you are a child of God. In God's eyes, He sees you as Christ. What do you think Christian means? You are a Christ one. And the question is, are you a Christ one? And one last text in closing. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 3. And this is why I'm saying about your identity. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3. This is Paul speaking. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. The new covenant, the new birth, the new heart, and a new identity. And that identity tells you, you've been made alive, you've been forgiven all your sins, you've been raised up, you've been predestined, you've been called, you've been justified, and yes, you have been glorified. And now, brothers and sisters, you are a billboard. You came in a billboard, you're walking out a billboard. You're going back to your family a billboard, you're going to your job as a billboard tomorrow. When you're in the marketplace, you're a billboard. And the question is this, what kind of billboard are you? You are God's billboard to the lost. Your life is a testimony to the saving power of Almighty God. Each and every one of us are an epistle. We are epistles. We are God's billboard. We are to live like Christ. We are to love like Christ. We are to labor like Christ. We are to be as Christ. Because the life that we live by faith in the Son of God. And you are a living billboard for good or for evil. What message are you sending? The Bible says that the Lord has come to give you life and give it more abundantly. That your joy would be full. Now, when your co-workers, your neighbors, your relatives and everything, when they see you, do they see the glory of Christ on your face, or do they see some pickle puss? Like you just ate five dill pickles. And it's like, please, don't tell them about Christ. And you know what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't be a witness, but you are being a witness, but a bad witness. We're supposed to reflect the glory of God. We are billboards, brothers and sisters. And far too often, most of us is like, oh, I'm just waiting for that glory train to come pick me up and get out of here. The world's going to hell in a basket. All right, so what are you doing about it? Are you helping them? Are you telling them the good news? Does your life say, now that's a Christ one. What is it about you? What is it about her? What is it about him? What is it? Well, you're just basically like the world. And if you are, ask yourself the question today, am I a worldling? Why am I a Christ one? Seriously consider the things that you've heard today. Are these things true of you? Made alive, raised up, glorified, forgiven, saint, holy. God has made us alive, He's raised us up, and He's made us sit together with Christ. And it's all because of the exceeding riches of His grace towards us in Christ. And brothers and sisters, that is your new identity. And Father, we would pray that that would be true in each and every one of our lives. That we would count it to be true what the Scripture says about us. And Father, I would pray that even now the Holy Spirit would convict where necessary, comfort where necessary, exhort and admonish. For your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, Father. And we pray that you do a mighty work in our midst. We pray at this congregation, Lord, that we would be much more than a billboard out on the street. That we would be Christ ones. That our loved ones, that our neighbors, even enemies, would know that we're Christ ones. And Father, we thank you that you have made us new creatures. For in and of ourselves, we could never do that. And Father, if there be anyone in our midst today that has never come to Christ for salvation, that they would know that the wages of sin is death, but that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And Christ would say today, whosoever will, come.